Now let's see here. Tomato, potato, tomato, potato.
All right. Here we go. We're going to start. Everyone? Everyone's in.
Okay. In the room. There we go.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called...
Oh my goodness, thank you guys for coming. Thank you for clapping on demand. I appreciate it. Welcome to another episode of Stab. I'm your host, John Ross, here at Luna's Cafe. We're here every first and third Wednesday at 1414 16th Street in Sacramento, California. And we're gonna start filming this bitch and putting it online. So if you'd like to keep your eye out for that, you should. Are you ready to meet your contestants? Yes, good. I am too. Please welcome to the stage Jason B. Jason B. He's right there. We're holding hands. I'm helping him to the stage. He's sitting down. And there he is. And also coming to the stage, just to my left, might be to your left also. I don't know. Ray Molina. And once again, please welcome to the stage, Jesse Jones. Hello. Hi. All right. Welcome, guys. How are you?
Oh, good.
Good. All fired up?
Yeah.
I'm in a good mood. Don't ask me why, but I am in a good mood. Jason, this is the second time on the show. That means you did something right the first
time. Don't expect that to happen
again.
Good.
Well, thank you for being here, Jason. Jason, what's your problem? I'm just kidding. I don't.
How much time do I have?
You have. Okay.
Well, listen, there's this... I don't agree with capitalism, and I'm more of an...
What? Oh, booze? No, you can have it, just not close to that. Oh.
See, you fucking bastards. Always telling me what to do.
We just don't want you to spill alcohol on our soundboard. Is that too much to ask? If you spill it, then capitalism isn't work because we have to buy another one, and you know
my job is done.
And your job, right? Well, then you're forcing us to be a part of the capitalism.
I'm just a monkey wrench, man. That's what I do.
Well, thanks for being here. Are you drunk already?
I don't know.
Okay, we'll see.
Can't recall.
Sitting in the middle is a good friend of mine of quite some time, Ray Molina. How are you, Ray?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. How do you feel?
Wonderful.
How are you feeling overall?
The best ever. The best I've ever felt in my life, in my 50 years of life.
How was your 2014?
That was a good year. Both my parents died.
Is that true?
No.
Okay, right.
I don't know.
You don't have parents.
I don't know them.
You don't know your parents. Jesse Jones.
Yeah.
How about the NBA basketball season, huh?
No, it's hooptastic.
Who's winning these days?
Probably somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, odds are it's like 50-50. Somebody has to win. Somebody has to lose. They play the whole game, 110%, and leave it all out on the court.
Well, good. I'm glad you're keeping up with...
Sports!
All right. Let's go ahead and play Stab. Jason B., this first segment is for you and them. This first segment's called New Year's Resolutions from the Perspective Of. It's not the same as the last show. Police have composed four New Year's resolutions from the perspective of the following people or things. Jason, please provide yours from the perspective of the year 2017. If 2017 were a person, what would its New Year's resolution be?
Well,
what would its four be?
I'm going to do it.
All right, let's hear it.
I'm going to be the first year to do it. I'm going to go for 2 years. That's right. Fuck you, 2018. I'm staying for one more. I'm confident that if I can get another year in, by the time I'm done, we won't even need 2018. I'm not going to half-ass it this time around. No more of this verge of the nuclear apocalypse pussyfooting around. We're going to get it done this time.
I think you're right.
By the time I'm done being 2017, you'll be able to find more differences between you and your fellow people than the Irish know shades of green. If you thought you had to drink your way through year one of a Donald Trump presidency, wait until you see what year two of year one of a Donald Trump presidency will do for your alcohol tolerance. As the sickest piece of shit year in the memory of anyone who didn't survive the Holocaust, it's my duty to stick around and see if I can't put the 1940s to shame.
Very good. Very good. Question mark. Ray Molina, yeah. Please have composed four New Year's resolutions from the perspective of a Confederate statue.
Oh, all four?
Sure. Why not?
Because I'm still working on one.
Good. Okay.
Three. Just to be clear, I'm not very familiar with Confederate people.
Okay. As a statue.
Okay, so the statue being General Elmer Fudd. I'm pretty sure he would have been a Confederate. This year I would like to kill more ducks and wabbits without some minority or Antifa member trying to pull me down unsuccessfully with ropes for 20 minutes as the news crew airs it live.
Did you say Antifud or Antifa? Antifa. Okay, Antifud. Okay,
Antifud.
Sorry, I thought you...
That would have made... Can I read it over and say that instead?
Yes, we'll put it in post.
Next, Sergeant Yosemite Sam statue. This will be his hootiness, tootiness, shootiness, bobtailed wildcat in the West resolution. The title's actually longer than the resolution. I want to do something different with my mustache. Someone called me Kurt Russell the other day. actually, there's more. I didn't realize it was longer. I'm going to have to try to do a voice here. It's going to be a... I smell carrots a-cooking. And where there's carrots, there's rabbits. And as you may already know, carrots are high in vitamin A, which is important for healthy eyes. And once my eyes improve, I can aim better and save on bullets. I don't want to be the most shootiness. I'm fine with the hootiness and the tootiness, but being the most shootiness can get pricey. Bullets aren't cheap. This year, I want to eat better also. Then there's the famed Confederate soldier, Ted Nugent. This statue is located in Ted Nugent's trophy room. This year I'm going to cut down on sweets, and I also want to kill more endangered animals and all grazing fauna. But only grazing fauna. I would like to be remembered as the Count Olaf of bow hunting and bigotry.
Series of unfortunate events reference, yeah, right?
His facial hair is kind of resembling that.
It's
lately.
True. It's true.
And let's see here. Then I have Corporal Taylor Swift. I don't know. I'm not sure. I want to make sure that my squad always has every ethnicity represented so that everyone can see that I'm better in comparison. That might be it, right? That's
four.
Four.
Squad goals. Very good. Very good. Ray Molina. Jesse Jones, please have written four New Year's resolutions from the perspective of the national anthem.
All right. First, try not to take myself too seriously. Sit, stand, kneel, hand on heart, salute, hat on, hat off, whatever, man. I mean, one of my parents was a British drinking song. I should really get over myself, right? Second, be proud of who I really am. I'm a full-figured octave and one-fifth with four luscious verses. Why I gotta act like I'm some stuck-up one-verse princess? Number three. Try to get a picture with me and America the Beautiful so people can stop thinking we're the same song, LOL. And finally, maybe get a little crazy. Hook up with some hot DJ for a couple weeks. Get myself hella remixed. I mean, God, can you just imagine? People would totally lose their shit, especially if the DJ was some kind of hot minority. Totally gonna do it.
Very good. That was New Year's resolutions from the perspective of various things. What is going on? This brings us to the next segment. Reorganization, a fan favorite. Please take this acronym and reimagine it. What does it now stand for? Who or what does it now represent? Being that the holidays have just passed, we're all a bit little bit more of this, and that's FAT. What does fat mean to you? FAT, Jason. Jason B.
When I was a teenager in the park by my house, there was this fella, and he had a pet with him. And you could throw an empty water bottle at it. That was the rule. And it would throw it back to you, more at you, very angrily. But the empty water bottle was light enough. It had this attribute that I think everyone should see because it's not on Discovery or National Geographic, and that's furry ape titties.
Furry ape titties.
Apes have massive titties. Female apes have huge titties, and they don't show them. They'll show the human titties on Nat Geo, but not... Google it, man. Furry ape titties are out there, and everyone needs to see it. F-A-T, furry ape titties.
Yeah, very good. Very good, as if I haven't Googled it already. Very good. Ray Molina, what does fat mean to you?
Fat to me means... and has always meant forehead acne tinsel. That's when your acne is so cystic that it makes hanging Christmas tree tinsel on your face easier. You tell your friend, your face is fat. They say, oh, I better see my dermatologist. And you say, good, because I am only that honest with friends. But unless you take care of your forehead, I can't be your friend anymore.
Very good. Very good. What was it again?
Forehead acne tinsel.
Forehead acne tinsel. Very good. Very good, Ray. Thank you very much. Let's clap for Ray.
Yeah.
I cut him off.
You did.
Jesse Jones, what does fat mean to you?
Oh, it's so much longer than both of them combined. God damn it.
Bragging.
Got it. Yeah, bragging about not being able to edit my rambling nonsense. It's safe to say that we as a nation have never been more divided than we are today. I mean, except when that one time when we were actually literally divided into two whole different countries because we super couldn't agree on what people were. But besides that one time, this time is also a pretty divided time. But no matter what our class, cultural, racial, sexual, or religious divisions, one thing has recently emerged which we've all been able to rally behind. A shared hatred of fat. Fat is the one unifying force which everyone, not just in this country, but around the world, can universally agree is the most fucking insane thing that's been unleashed on the planet in some time. And it's up to us to say no more and put an end to frightening apocalyptic tweets. Remember when we just had a dumb president? He'd forget how words worked, and he'd lie with a twinkle in his eye and a weird, confusing giggle. We thought dumb president was the worst things could ever be, but now we have dumb, angry, lunatic president. A horrible little man who wakes up at 4 in the morning to thumb scream crazy mind thoughts into his phone about the size and potency of his metaphorical nuclear peen. while fruitlessly attempting to shove a rage-caked, chalky, calcified McNugget and Diet Coke stool in into a toilet that he hates so much because it hasn't been dipped in gold. This certainly isn't the kind of thing any of us expected we'd likely have to worry about in an occupant in the highest office in the land. A world where fireside chats have been replaced by Twitter. Twitter's not a medium through which the President of the United States should be communicating. As far as I can tell, it isn't a medium where anyone should be communicating. Twitter's like if a YouTube comment thread became self-aware and realized it wasn't just limited to screaming at a video of a 13-year-old's birthday party about how gay it was. And then just started being directionlessly horrible. And that's how we arrived at FAT. And honestly, I don't know how to stop frightening apocalyptic tweets. I just thought I'd put it out there so that someone else might be able to do something about it before these fats end up stupidly killing us all.
Very good. That was Reorganization. Which brings us to our third segment called This Was Today Once. That's usually our first segment. We're fucking changing it up. Jason B., you're first. On this date, 1847, the California town of Yerba Buena is renamed San Francisco. Also on this date, 1903, Austrian civil servant and father of Adolf Hitler, Alois Hitler, died. How did you choose to celebrate the aforementioned events in tandem?
Such an easy topic. The city of Yerba Buena, which translates to New Herb, renamed itself San Francisco in order to keep its pot habit low key. San Francisco, or New Herb, wasn't as blissfully unaware of its potent marijuana stink cloud. To celebrate the concurrent death of Alois Hitler, I spend the day seeking out one descendant of the Hitler family that's changed their name and shame them publicly. Afterwards, I apologize. Then we get high and drunk together until I can convince them to change their name back to Hitler. But their first name. Afterwards, I steal their car and leave them passed out on the porch of the B-52's fabled love shack.
Very good, Jason B. Very good. Very good. Yes. Ray Molina, it is your turn. Ray Molina, on this date, 1876, the first free kindergarten in the U.S. opens in Florence, Massachusetts. Also on this date, 1932, martial law is declared in Honduras to stop a revolt by the banana workers fired by the United Fruit Company. How did you choose to celebrate these events combined?
I hired 5-year-olds to work for Rotten Bananas making Banana Republic cardigans. I also throw bananas at them while I eat banana bread in front of their hungry family members. And then when they're off work, I make them sleep in banana peels on the sidewalk so that people can slip on them and ruin their Banana Republic ensemble, forcing them to buy new Banana Republic items, which in turn allows for steady work for the 5-year-olds.
It's bananas. Very good.
Bananas.
Very good, Ray Molina. Jesse Jones, on this date, 1984, a woman died at Disneyland after falling from a ride. She had apparently unfastened her seatbelt while on the Matterhorn bobsled. Also on this date, 1961, the U.S. severed diplomatic relations with Cuba. How did you choose to celebrate these events combined?
Sad news coming from Disneyland this evening, John. The death toll in the disputed territories continues to rise. This comes as reports have surfaced that talks between Frontierland and Adventureland have broken down. Leaving many to question how this will affect citizens of the highly disputed East Bank of the Rivers of America. All of this comes only days after the leaders of the nation of Disneyland declared their independence at the stroke of midnight at the beginning of 2018. The 3 days that have followed have seen this magical kingdom plunged into the happiest war zone on Earth. Mickey Mouse, whom some have called nothing more than a powerless figurehead, has retreated to his walled stronghold of Toontown, where he, Goofy, and Roger Rabbit have set up a blockade at the Toontown station in an attempt to capture and control the vital transportation line of the Disneyland Railroad. Meanwhile, in New Orleans Square, a treaty between the Pirates of the Caribbean and residents of the Haunted Mansion has ended decades of hostilities between the historically uneasy rivals in the name of the decimation of their common enemies, the crews of the Mark Twain riverboat and the sailing ship Columbia. Critter Country lays in ruins this evening after an unprovoked attack from the intelligent animal and plant life of the enchanted Tiki Room. Among the carnage left strewn about the base of Splash Mountain was the sweet, sticky musk of Dole Whip. Disneyland fans are eating this up online as they find it years into the future. Meanwhile, to the east, the forces of magic and technology continue to clash as Fantasyland and Tomorrowland light up the night sky with witches' lightning and death rays. Shots continue to be traded between the Matterhorn and Space Mountain, while Buzz Lightyear's Astro Blasters have reportedly claimed the lives of Mr. Toad, Dumbo the Flying Elephant, and all of the guests of the Mad Tea Party. Meanwhile, Peter Pan and the residents of Pixie Hollow are leading refugees from the Magic Kingdom to Knott's Berry Farm, where humanitarian aid awaits the displaced cartoons.
Very good, Jessica. That was This Was Today Once. It is a small world, after all. All right, guys. We're more than halfway done.
Yeah.
Huh? I like how I'm looking forward to the end of the show. Is that bad? All right, this next segment is called Write an Erotic Poem About It. Jason B., please have written an erotic poem about things that are gluten-free.
I've written a series of haikus.
Okay.
A cookie for me. It makes peace with my bowel. I will suck your dick. No pasta, thank you. I'm allergic to gluten, but I do eat ass.
Very good.
You're not allergic. You just want to feel special. I'll fuck you and call. I chose to eat grain. Now my sphincter flows like wine. Won't you plug the leak? Thank you.
Very good. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. Too late. Too late with a button. Ray Molina, please have written an erotic poem on how a bill becomes a law.
I just want to know. I've never written a poem before. So, I don't, you know, you tell me. You tell me. So I just, okay, I'm going to have to say it erotically in case it's not quite a poem. Find the best bill. Find the best bill you can. And remember that you don't always get the bill you want. Sometimes you have to love the bill you're with. It might be the only bill you'll ever get. Send it to your friends in the House of Representatives and let them have a peek. If mommy like you and daddy like you, then send it to more friends in the Senate. Give them a peek, just a peek. Don't look too long. Try to leave a little something to the imagination. People love a little mystery. If there's no consent, then tweak and twerk and wait, biting your tongue and licking your lips while everyone takes their turns with this bill. The House, the Senate. Some people argue for it and some against it. Some say too fast, some say too slow. When it's finally all said and done and you see it again, you can tell with one look that it's changed. It's not the same bill you once knew. It sounds different. It behaves different. You can see trauma, but you don't fully know what sort of hell it's been through. Does size matter? Well, you need 2/3 vote. And then it's the president's turn, and he plays rough. And then If you sign enough non-disclosure agreements and pay enough money to the right people, then you will become a law. And the bill will become a law. And as a law, nobody will ever truly respect you again. In part because they know what you've been through. You are soulless and nothing more than a dark stain on a bright future. Sex.
Very good, Ray. Like, the erotic tone just went to your regular
voice.
That's my
sexy voice. That's my exhausted and sexy voice. Please give me, I have a flu.
Jesse Jones,
yeah.
An erotic poem about tortillas. Tortillas.
Yeah. Yeah, we got it. White, soft flour. You envelop my meat. You wrap my beans. You caress my lumpy guac.
This is a commercial for Luna's. You're welcome, Art.
Feel free to use this. This goes right up to the GoFundMe page. Yellow. Hard. Corn. Protected from the outside world, ensconced in your hard, brittle shell. White or yellow, soft or hard, flour or corn. You can be so soft, so gentle. You can be so hard, inflexible. So warm and inviting, I can feel your steam. I can't hold back. I fill you up with my sour cream.
Okay. That brings us to our final segment. Sorry. This is a segment we haven't done in a while called Sell It on Craigslist. Please have sold these following things on Craigslist. Jason B., you're a kidnapper who kidnapped the 8-year-old you, so you're selling the kidnapped 8-year-old you on Craigslist.
For sale. One drunk 8-year-old boy. Forage his own food. This top-notch child can already talk store owners out of liquor with a forged note from his alcoholic father. This boy practically pays for himself. He will skip school to play in dumpsters and bring home piles of discarded food, only to eat it proudly while he stares in disbelief at your refusal to eat some of his new treasures. This clever, antisocial, and borderline sociopathic child would make the perfect guard psycho for any urban home. He's already mastered such defensive phrases as, "Who the fuck are you?" and "My mom says I don't have to go to school." This boy is smart, but also believes he's a lot smarter than he really is. He can easily be controlled with praise and reverse authority techniques. Fair warning, do not leave out hand tools around the boy. He can and will disassemble anything that he can find a place to wedge a screwdriver. Call and text any time, _ or best offer.
Very good, Jason. You're charming. Very good. One more time for Jason B. Very good. Ray Molina, you were selling all of your personal belongings. By the way, you're a fish.
I have decided to move out and everything must go. Okay. I have a gallon of urine filled with water perfect for preppers. Plastic plants, the carcass of my dead brother, is on curb alert. Don't come tapping on the glass, but if you bring a big enough pocket, he's yours. And then finally, my prize marble bed. It's covered in months of shit. The marbles are dark blue iridescent marbles and can make any room look like there was an oil spill. Marbles are fun for everyone if you happen to be lucky enough to have been born with fingers and not sold to people who keep you in what used to be a dog bowl.
Very good, Ray. You sold all of your personal belongings as a fish. Very good, Ray. Ray Molina. Yeah. This last one, we can't get away from. Jesse Jones, sell this on Craigslist. That bitch Nadine. That's a call. Yeah.
Yeah, to all those dedicated stab heads or stabbies or whatever our throngs of fans have dubbed themselves.
Stabrocrats.
Stab publican?
Stabulans.
Yeah, they're dying over this running gag that we've got going on.
That bitch Nadine. Sell that bitch Nadine. Okay.
Check the archives, everybody. Well, hi there. Are you looking for a new addition to your growing family unit? But less like another person and more like a pet kind? Well, look no further because you found my Craigslist posting about just that sort of thing. I'm Nadine, and I've started my very own puppy mill. I only sell girl dogs, and so that none of my little ones get too attached, we all name them the same thing. So come on and make that bitch Nadine a part of your happy family. Girl dogs, we've all named Nadine, that bitch Nadine. I'll... had to explain it a little. All raised in a home full of joy and tennis balls by myself and 11 wonderful boys and 14 beautiful little girls, all adopted from at-risk urban risk environments. Every once in a while, I give the puppies a little treat, like 3 or 4 jelly beans. I looked on the internet, and it didn't say anything about jelly beans not being good for dogs, so jelly beans. All of these Nadine bitches are raised on Frasier reruns and Eskimo Kisses. And just so it's not a surprise, when you come pick up your very own bitch Nadine, all these puppies have various special needs. You don't get to pick what kind, but just know it'll be something between cleft paw and feline AIDS. That's right, at least one of these puppies has feline AIDS. How'd that happen? Who knows? But it sure makes her special, huh? So if you're looking for a wonderful fur baby that you probably won't have to take care of for very long, and it'll make you feel superior to all your other dog-owning friends, get yourself that bitch Nadine!
Very good. That is Stab. One more time for the contestants you saw. Jason B., Ray Molina, and Jesse Jones. Thank you for coming out to Stab. If you'd like to hear more Stabs, go to one of our many online outlets, the primary of which being Stab for Gold. Stab, the number 4 gold.com. Check us out on YouTube. There it is. All right.